This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, and the stories that leads today's show are as follows. An app that wants you to narc on someone. Lyft gets a cool $1 billion from Alphabet. Google Fiber launches in Louisville, Kentucky. Autonomous bulldozer. Of course, we're going to talk about all those stories, plus all the news of the day. And I want to welcome you to episode 1233 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, October 19th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/insider by becoming a Geek News Central insider or simply PayPal.me/geeknews. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey, I want to give everyone a very, very warm welcome. I appreciate y'all for being here. And thanks for tuning in. Thanks for staying subscribed. If you're brand new to the show, absolutely welcome to the podcast. I got a great show lined up for you tonight with lots to share. And lots to talk about. Had a little bit of a late start to the show tonight because YouTube did something new and I had to prepare for that. But hey, if you're brand new to the Geek News Central podcast, the first thing, the absolute first thing you need to do is get over to geeknewscentral.com. And when you're on the website, just subscribe via Apple Podcasts, on Android, via email, via Google Play, on Stitcher, via TuneIn, or just use an old school RSS feed. And really, the RSS feed is what makes this whole podcasting thing a podcast. So you can use all kinds of applications to subscribe to the show. We want you to pick yours that best matches what you how you consume media. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, click on those more subscribe options. That'll give you some details on how you can get subscribed to the show so that you'll never miss a single episode. A little bit further down the page is a link to the newsletter. Get signed up for a newsletter. It contains everything that I'm going to talk about during the show today. We want to make sure that you don't miss out on a single detail. Of course, all of the details will always be available at geeknewscentral.com. If you have a comment on today's show, email is really fast and furious, geeknews@gmail.com. If you want to use Twitter, just use Twitter @geeknews. That's my handle. Please follow me. Of course, you can join our Slack channel at geeknewscentral.com by sending an email to geeknews@gmail. Let me know you want to be part of the Slack channel. Of course, you can follow on Google Plus or on Facebook. You can watch the show on the Roku TV, on the Roku app via the Tech Podcast app on your TV, or your Apple TV via just the podcast app on the Apple TV. Of course, you can get hooked up with you can listen on your Amazon Echo by telling that device to play the Geek News Central podcast. You can listen to I'm getting ahead of myself here. You can listen on Stitcher, watch, review, and blueberry.com, or tell your Google Home device to play the podcast Geek News Central. Partner shows include No Better Than Average with Jacob Majep, The Gadget Professor, Mr. Don Bain, The Pro Gear Site put together by the GNC team, The Podcast Legend Shows by yours truly, and And of course, the new media show co-hosted myself and Rob Greenlee. That is the podcast tech lineup that we've got here for you. We want you to get engaged. Come to the site on a daily basis. The writers are putting up great content for you. And we don't want you again to miss any of the content. Make Geek News Central a daily part of your online, basically browsing habits. It's mobile ready, so you can come to the site on your mobile phone as well. So just a little information here. This show would not be possible, and what I do here would not be possible without our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. And we want you to take advantage of all the deals that I've got going and have available at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. That's going to take you right to the website, and that's going to take you right to the page you need to basically save a lot of money. And, you know, these promo codes that I use in this podcast, keep this podcast and my independent writing team employed. You're truly supporting a small team of independent content creators. By using one of our promo codes, you will support us in that effort. And again, I want to thank you for your support when you share these codes with your friends. Subscribe to the podcast. That's the most important thing. And of course, get all the latest tech news from us. And well, it's all possible because of your utilization of my GoDaddy promo codes. And you can save 30% on a new product purchase by using the code CJCGN30. You can get a 99cent.com. This is a one-time good deal by using CJCGNC99 at checkout at GoDaddy. Or the best deal going and just continue to run rampant around any deal on the internet, get $1 a month economy hosting with a free domain and $1 a month managed WordPress hosting with a free domain for the first year. So for $12, you get one of these two products and a free domain. A domain costs $8.49 normally. So just think about that. For $3.51, you get a website essentially full bore for a whole year. Because again, if we deduct the cost of a domain name. Or get our 1 month free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. All these codes, everything that's available is on geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Share the codes, make a friend, support this show. And really, if you're not into domain names, if you don't need to buy a product or service, that's okay. Become an insider. We talked about it at the beginning of the show at geeknewscentral.com/insider. All right, so let me go ahead here. And again, thanks GoDaddy for being a sponsor, of course. And let's keep the good times rolling. I think looking at the October data so far, we're just a little behind schedule as far as sales goes. So I hope you guys will pick it up a notch a little bit. For those of you that have been sitting on the fence, definitely appreciate those of you that do support the sponsor or become an insider here at Geek News Central. All right, so let me talk just a little bit about what's going on. I've been really grumpy with the Chinese company that I've been dealing with, trying to get them to understand my use case for my beacons. And I think tonight in a Skype chat, I finally got the sales lady to understand what I was trying to do. And she says, oh, but they support iBeacon and they support, you know, I'm like, I don't care about iBeacon. I don't have an app that supports iBeacon. And I think she finally figured it out. So we'll see what comes of it. If nothing else, I said, just give me the firmware and make them stupid again. So I don't have to have this extra fancy stuff. Just make them so I can program them. But you know, it's okay. It's and what I'm trying to do here is twist their arm just a little bit, because I want the functionality that comes with these beacons. But yeah, a little grumpy with them. And I said, are you going to be at CES? And she says, yeah, my boss is going to be there. I'm like, good. Him and I are going to sit down face to face. We're going to have a conversation. I'm going to make him understand what the heck I'm trying to say. So anyway, that's what's going on there. Now, another reason I think I'm a little grumpy is I haven't been able to get to the gym as much this week. I'm really off cycle in a big, big way. It's just because I've been putting in killer hours and traffic the Honolulu traffic's been killer. So I'm really off. So tomorrow morning, I'm just like, I'm hardcore. I got to get back in a 5 to 6 day a week gym mode. It's messing with my mojo and I'm not losing weight. So I got to get back in the gym. And that's a big thing. But on a more serious note, I've talked for many years about wanting to leave Hawaii and to move back to the mainland. And the discussion points here within the household has been ramping up more, and I've been more and more talking about this, you know, this returning to the continental United States and leaving Hawaii. And really, it goes for a couple of things. Number one, the cost of living here is you all well know, simply incredibly insane. And number two, I want to retire someday. I don't want to work until I die. Number three, I want to be able to get in my car and drive somewhere and not end up in my driveway. The weather here, you know, obviously is beautiful. We've got a certain way the kids love the beach and all that stuff. But I'm done. I'm really, really, really done with Hawaii on in many, many levels. And I have a date in mind on when I want to go to the mainland, a month and date, and it's not anytime soon, but it is you know, getting closer to that date. And it is really a significant bone of contention here within the household, because and she doesn't want to leave yet. And I'm putting pressure as much as I can without you know, going too overboard and trying to exalt the benefits of, you know, this extra money we would have if we were in the mainland and all this stuff. And I don't know if I'm being successful yet. I really don't. And it's a challenge in many levels. So you know, that's been four of my mind here for a little bit. So I've talked about this a little bit in the past, but you know, as time goes on here and the cost of living in Hawaii continues to increase, and I know it's getting more expensive everywhere to live, but you know, you look at what you have coming in, you look at what you're coming out, you look at what you're able to put away for retirement, you know, all these things, and the math doesn't match the goal line that I'm trying to reach at an age where, you know, I can not necessarily, and you know, not, I'm never going to retire, but where I can throttle back, you know, 25%. So I'm still young. I'm 53. So, but I'm still, you know, I'm looking out 12, 13, 15 years on where things are going to be. And it's a challenge. I just, the math doesn't work staying in Hawaii, unless like I hit the lotto or won a multi-million dollar jackpot. I know a lot of people say people can live here, but I just don't want to survive here. You know, I want to be able to enjoy the fruits of you know, these massive hours I've worked for so many years, and it just isn't going to make it here in Hawaii. I just don't see how it can. I'm not independently wealthy. I work like 99% of the rest of the people on this planet. And it's just the way it is. So anyway, four of mine and ongoing discussions here in the household. Okay, enough on that. One topic is Isaiah, who was my cameraman at CES, Isaiah Garcia, who is the son of Sam Garcia, who is a super, you know, Sam is one of our longtime supporters of the show. He is a top tier insider, you know, the whole nine yards, and the album art that you see on the website and all that is, you know, is Sam's doing. His son is working and being a integral part of the society, and he's working a 40-hour work week and does not have the vacation time or can't afford to take the time off to come to Vegas to be with me at CES this year, which saddens me because Isaiah was fantastic, super trooper, did a fantastic job. I'm hoping I still can contract him to do the video editing at the end. You know, we're all going to work that out. But one thing that I put a call out on Facebook saying I'm looking for someone to be a cameraman, and I immediately had three or four people respond, you know, kind of, you know, I'll go. And I had one response from someone I was kind of surprised to hear from that I can't announce yet, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to be able to have him with me at CES. The stars are aligned, so I will be probably talking about that next week. Got to get some stuff locked in first, but it's going to be kind of cool. And there's a little bit of a Ohana story to go along with it. So that's always the best. And I'm really looking forward to having a great event. And this weekend is going to be the weekend where I really turn focus to planning and getting ready for that show. Okay, so let's get into the content. I got a full stack of stuff to get through tonight. And let me see, what have I got going on here? I don't want you playing. You need to go on that network. So I just had to, the playback was happening on the Mac there, and I don't want to burn the bandwidth. There we go. Let me stop that. I don't need that running. And why won't it stop? All right, doesn't matter. We got the audio fixed, as suspected. It was a meow. It was a cat. The cat likes to get on a table over here to get up on the windowsill. And the cat basically, it's got a cover on the mixer on the side over here that I have for the TriCaster, some other stuff. It it pushed the volume arm down. I mean, way down. And I was like, and when I looked at it the other day, I was expecting something on the other side, and it fixed it in 30 seconds. But I was just like, you know. So now I have to cat-proof the room, and I'll be breaking out the tape. Hey, we have a new chat room at live.geeknewscentral.com. Hope you'll join us on the chat room sometime and say hello. Okay. What YouTube did is they changed the interface up. And I had a 50-50 chance of getting it right the first time, and I didn't. So that's why we're just a little late to start tonight. All right, so let me start off with an app called, or a company called Axon, A-X-O-N. Axon's a company formerly known as Taser. It's got something interesting going in them. They either want to encourage helpful citizens or snitches, depending on how you feel about talking to police, to come forward. On Thursday, the company announced Axon Citizen, a new public safety portal that lets civilians submit text, video, and audio files directly to participating law enforcement agencies that use its cloud storage device, Evidence.com. The company is already the largest provider of body-worn cameras and associated storage to American law enforcement agencies. In this press release, they said that submitted data goes straight into evidence.com, so community members do not need to hand their phones over to the police. The direct upload to evidence.com eliminates any need for officers to download, print, and transfer data to a USB drive and physically place it inside an evidence locker at the agency. Axon did not say which cities currently have or will have this upgrade, but it did note that some law enforcement agencies' customers currently have access to the one-on-one tool. All American police organizations that use Evidence.com Pro, Ultimate, or Unlimited Lashing will have the tool later this year at no additional cost. So, this really isn't necessarily an app to send video, text, or pictures to the police when you see something that's happened personally. It is when you've been asked to submit something that you may have gotten on your phone, but it's still where I have concerns is, okay, let's use a hypothetical here. Let's say that you witness on your phone pictures of a drug transaction. I think 90% of us would, number one, if we captured that in a video or a picture, we would be pretty inclined, number one, not to have wanted to be seen, number one, taking the picture, and number two, would probably delete the picture or video off our phones. I think it takes a lot of guts for someone to submit that type of activity as evidence to a law enforcement agency in hope that if they do turn that data into a case and becomes evidence and arrest someone, how is your personal safety guaranteed? So my question is if you're going to submit data to evidence.com, how is your privacy guaranteed where your information, which is could be used shared in discovery in a legal proceedings where a defending attorney could get this information and share this with the person that's accused, and that person could take note of that and maybe figure out, you know, there's a lot of things there, a little bit makes me go, just a little bit. So, you guys worried about submitting this kind of stuff to police? Do you feel confident they can protect your information? I'm not so sure, but maybe we don't have anything to worry about because maybe 99.9% of us will never have to do that. Congratulations to Lyft. They got a $1 billion investment led by Alphabet. This is crazy. Lyft is now valued at $11 billion, which could help it fuel its quest to beat rival Uber. And of course, I've been using Lyft for all my rides that I've been taking in recent times. But this confirms a report from last month that Google's led Alphabet is basically the one behind the $1 billion financing round. So it's their capital G arm. Hey, a capital G arm? Let's talk. Oh, man. Cool $1 billion. Think about that for a minute. Google Fiber is now in Louisville, thanks to a new fiber deployment strategy. They're burying the fiber very shallow, 4 or 5 inches underneath the ground, which makes me go, I don't know if this has a long-time viability. But they are doing so. This as a way to quickly deploy fiber in Google Fiber in Louisville. So if you are in the Louisville, Kentucky area, I'd love to hear from you if you've signed up for this or been able to get access to Google Fiber. But congratulations to you that do have access to it. Tonight, I want to spend a little time on a topic in which I named the episode tonight about autonomous vehicles and some updates. And I want to share with you something that I saw today that made me even I was kind of caught off guard a little bit. This is an article over on The Verge, and it talks about an autonomous bulldozer evacuating dirt without a human operator. And now, this is not a very big bulldozer. This is more like a Bobcat front-end loader. It doesn't move that much dirt. This is just a little itty-bitty machine. Now, having grew up with my dad having a construction company and having run a D9 dozer or a excavator, having run drove dump trucks and everything else that my dad had in the arsenal, pushing dirt with a bulldozer, even though it sounds, how should we say it, simple, is not necessarily as simple as it seems. You know, you have to decide how big of a cut you're going to take, how deep the blade's going to be in. And really, you've got a situation where you've got so much available horsepower and so much gearage. And, you know, a bulldozer can only push or cut so much dirt at a time. And that activity is, you know, well-honed over sitting in a seat many, many hours and basically moving dirt. Now, what they've done with this self-driving little excavator is they've designed it to do something like dig basements or a swimming pool. They give it a set of dimensions, and then it is designed to, you know, basically dig. And again, this is more of a little mini excavator than it is really a bulldozer. But if we think about this a little bit, this company called Built Robotics, which is a new company, and it aims to disrupt the $130 billion excavation industry with a fleet of autonomous earth movers. There are times when I could see maybe some of this being used, but I'm going to have to almost go against, and again, I'm probably going to be proven wrong here, but if you have perfect conditions, you're on firm topsoil, it's not rain, you're not on muck, you're not in clay, if you're in just decent, easy digging dirt with no roots and big rocks and stuff like this, autonomous probably works pretty big. But when you're in a machine and you're moving dirt, literally, or digging ditches, you have to contend with roots, rocks, tile, right away of electric lines, you name it. There's about 500 things that you have to contend with. If they can figure out how to make these autonomous vehicles contend with all that, this could be another disruptor. But I just don't know if it will have as big of an impact. You know, I see a bigger impact in the farming industry, because most of the time tractors are going up a field, down the next. They're not always having to navigate around stuff, even though where I grew up you would. But I see more and more autonomous stuff happening in the farming industry, maybe than in the heavy dirt building community. But, you know, I think we've got a whole industries, truck driving, farming, where, and I'll be honest with you, when I was a kid growing up, if my dad didn't have something for me to do, he sent me down to my grandfather's house. I went down to my grandfather's house, and he would know I'm coming. He would have a tractor fueled up, and he would have a sprayer or have an excavator, or there would be work to do. And sometimes it was mundane work of sitting on the tractor going up and down a field. And you sit there for hours, up, one down, up, back and forth, lots of time to think, contemplate world issues, you know, that was, you know, but, some of that's pretty mundane, but, you could see where there can be, a significant impact to industry if they figure this all out. So, I don't know. What do you guys think about autonomous stuff? What else are autonomous vehicles going to change? It's going to dismantle the taxi drivers, right? Ultimately, there will not be taxi drivers anymore. Ultimately, there will not be long-haul truckers anymore. Ultimately, there will not be farmers driving up and down fields anymore. There are going to be people supporting them. So, you know, to me, it looks like the supporting of these autonomous fleets is where the money's going to be at. If I was to hedge my bets and be a betting man, that's what I would be going into now if I had a full career ahead of me. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'd love to hear what you guys think. What autonomous vehicles, what industries are going to disrupt? What I haven't talked about already, airline industries? Not in the near future, but who knows down the road, right? Google Play, and let me take a shot of H2O here. Google Play has added Android Insta apps via a Try It Now button. This announcement allows you to try an app immediately without having first to install them on your mobile device. The feature takes advantage of this thing called Android Instant Apps technology. And it's Google's attempt at bridging the mobile web world with that of native apps. This was first introduced at the Google I.O. conference last year. And unlike native apps that have to be downloaded in full, Instant Apps launch with just a tap on a URL. To support this, developers partition their apps into small runnable parts so that they can start within seconds. So, but anyway, become part of the Google Play Store today. So, they have some editor's choice, some apps you can try for those of you that are Android users, all right? Android Pay Visa checkout integration is finally live. Again, Google announced last year it was going to add support for Visa checkout to Android Pay. It didn't say when integration was live, as the company was still working on integration of two of the two services back then. So almost a year after the initial announcement was made, Visa checkout is finally supported on Android Pay. So look out for that as well. All right. Over in space.com, I love big, thick pictorial books that show historical stuff. Those, when it comes to buying books, those are the kind of books I buy. So I like looking at space history books. I've got several books on the Apollo. I've got several books on the space shuttle. And they're all, you know, a lot of beautiful pictures. Well, the folks here at space.com have compiled a list of books that they're recommending. Not all these are pictorial books. Some of them are stories, but there's stuff there for every age. There's stuff there for kids, for adults. But really, this is the kind of stuff I love to buy and to get in hard copy. And they've got a fantastic list of stuff here that I just really enjoy. And there's a couple of things on here that I've never picked up before. So is there a book that you love on space that didn't make this list? If it is, drop me an email, geeknews@gmail.com. I want to hear from you so we can share it with the audience. But this is a good primer for those of you that don't have any space books. Tim Cook is saying the Mac Mini is an important part of Apple's lineup. Nobody's going to hold a grudge against you if you forgot about the Mac Mini. I've got three of them running here in the studio right now. Apple hasn't really updated this product in over 3 years, but it isn't pulling the plug on the Mac Mini just yet. And he said it remains an important part of Apple's product lineup. But he didn't announce if there was anything in the pipeline, so we'll see. Mine are doing fine. They're not getting long in the tooth. It's amazing, really, the durability of those machines. Of course, I only use them for Skype, you know, so I'm not really hammering them. And they're running right now as basically advertisement for those who are watching video. You can see the two screens behind me, which is really self-generated by two Mac Minis. So it's not like, you know, I'm really pushing them hard, but they really do serve a good purpose in a very, very small footprint. That said, I've got some mini PCs that are being sent to me to review that I'm going to try to do some employment with, and we'll see how they work. And I'll share that information with you as I get done with my testing, but more on that as we move forward. You know, phones are a dime a dozen today, and there are a lot of really great, inexpensive phones. You know, the iPhone 10 is $999. The Galaxy Note is $930. Those are not inexpensive phones. Those are require you to bust out your credit card or, you know, save considerably to pick up one of those mobile phones. And then for a device that you're only going to keep a couple of years typically, you know, it's a huge, if you break it down by month, you know, if you take $1,000 and you divide that over 24 months, you know, it's a pretty pricey device, you know, that you're spending every month. if, you know, that's how I would look at things. I look at every device I buy, and I look at the price. So the MacBook Pro that I have sitting here, I know how much I paid for it, and I know what my accountant's going to allow me to deduct from a deduction standpoint this year on this. I'll get 50% of my, 50% of a business expense on this, and then it'll amortize out for like 5 years. Well, some stuff doesn't last 5 years, but it's still the amortization takes that long, unless you do some special work or you basically, you track really tight and make sure you take the rest of the deduction. But long story short, I look at what something costs me on a monthly basis when I buy something, and I figure out how many years I have to use that device or machine to make it really worth its time. Now, sometimes you upgrade because of necessity or you have a business need to do that. But that said, our kids don't need an iPhone 10. They don't need a Galaxy Note 8. But you can find some great selections of phones for $250 that can go a few years just as well. And that per month cost is not going to be as much. So T-Mobile offered the iPhone 7, Galaxy S7, and LG V20 for free for people who traded in eligible smartphones. But if you don't have that, the Huawei Honor 8 dropped from $400 to $300. And right now, you can even find the iPhone SE $399 at launch for less than $250. And there's a bunch of other Android options that are available for a great price. The Nokia 6, the Alcatel Idol 5, the ZTE Blade V8 Pro, the Huawei Honor 6X, the ZTE Blade Z Max. These are all great phones, great screens. Great for folks like a young kid that doesn't need a super fancy phone but wants to have a smartphone. And, they're not going to be the coolest kid in school carrying around an iPhone, but they'll get over it, right? So, cool article on phones, really great phones under $250. Verizon's online TV service has been reportedly delayed. Earlier this year, they said they were going to launch an online TV streaming service. Well, Verizon is maybe looking at spring of 2018 now. So if you're hoping to get that, you're going to have to wait. Also, there's some rumors out there that, and again, if these are rumors to be believed, Apple is reportedly slashing iPhone 8 production by 50%. This report out of Taiwan claims Apple's cutting production orders for the iPhone 8 and iPhone 8 Plus for the month of November, December. If this report is accurate, then this is going to be the earliest production cut in the history of the iPhone. The report seems to be convincing enough, as Reuters points out that it might have caused a 1.5% drop in Apple's share price and pre-market trading. After all, production cut this early isn't something we see from Apple. It's commonly believed that the iPhone fans are just waiting for the iPhone 10. I'm not so sure. It's a big leap. And for me, I'm not giving up the fingerprint unlock feature. That to me is a deal killer on the iPhone 10. And we will see what happens as the earning reports come out later. And of course, Apple never responds, as they cannot, to these types of rumors that are out there. Congress is seeking transparent online political spending with a bill called the Honest Ads Act. Following the revelations that the Russian-backed online, actors, jokers, Putin, whoever, bought and ran divisive social media advertising during the 2016 presidential election, three senators introduced a bipartisan bill aimed at regulating online ad buys. If passed, it would require Google, Facebook, Twitter, and the rest of the internet space to follow the same rules as traditional media. It means reporting. The bill would close loopholes by demanding online social media companies make and retain copies of all political ads run on their networks and make them available to the public. These rules would apply to any online entry, such as a website, apps, search engines, social ad network, with more than 50 million uniques in traffic per year. RE Code reports, on the other side, for any campaign that spends more than 500 on ads per year, these platforms will need to make not only the ad itself available to the public, but also information regarding who bought it, who it's targeted at, and how much it costs to run. These new rules mirror those that broadcasters have had to conform to for decades. So we're only 383 days away from the next election. So we will see what happens here with this. So some of these shenanigans will not be allowed, or at least will be reported upon. Amazon's largest wind farm is up and running in Texas. They have a total of 18 wind farms with more than 35 in work. But what's interesting is Greenpeace slammed Amazon for its environmental practices, namely the fact that it doesn't disclose much about its energy use or materials. They don't have to, but today the company did announce that their largest wind farm yet is up and running. The Amazon Wind Farm, Texas, located in Scurry County, Texas, includes over 100 turbines and will generate enough clean energy to power more than 330,000 homes. I didn't know Amazon was putting windmills up. The Amazon Wind Farm, Texas, among 18 others across the U.S. and online, and the online retailers, another 35 planning in stages. They're trying to offset their carbon footprint, at least somewhat, but they're providing more jobs and contributing to local communities. So that's amazing. That I didn't know they had that many. Amazon. Huh. I'm surprised they didn't put them. Are these close to where their data centers are at or not? I don't know. Hey, Google is having to pay or is being fined $10,000 a day in court fines for not handing over private email. And what this is...
I don't know how to help with that yet.
Google and the U.S. Government are quarreling over how much money the Google must pay in daily fines while it appeals against a search warrant for email held overseas. Google is basically saying, we do not want to have to reveal email that's held in overseas servers. And the government is fighting that tooth and nail. So $10,000 a day fine for not turning over those emails. Volkswagen is building an electric supercar to tackle Pikes Peak next year. Last month, of course, the beleaguered Volkswagen made an announcement that they were basically going to get into the electric car business in a big, big, big way. It's kind of probably hard to cheat on electric emissions and so forth. But this vehicle that they're building for Pikes Peak is all electric, and it's going to be set to challenge the nearly 5,000-foot climb to the top at the max elevation of 14,000 feet above sea level in the annual race. So we'll see. The automaker hopes to break the world record, or the record for electric racers on that course, which has set at 8 minutes, 57.118 seconds. So it is probably one of the most world-renowned car races. So we'll see what they bring to the table next year at Pikes Peak. PayPal is reporting that they had a solid quarter three. Active user base reaches $218 million. Non-GAAP earnings were 46 per share on revenue of $3.2 billion, up 21% year-over-year. Wall Street was looking for earnings of 43 cents per share on revenue of 3.18. So they just barely beat their numbers, but good on PayPal. Good for you. New Tesla lawsuit accuses the company of LGBT discrimination. Tesla's been hit with its second discrimination lawsuit in as many days. Again, the company was sued for racial harassment in its factories a few months back, and its diversity panel uncovered a slew of sexism. Now the Guardian is reporting another employee is suing the automaker for anti-LGBT taunts, a worker on the assembly line. Tesla did make a statement, and they essentially said that the company's profile makes a target for these claims, while also stating that if there's ever a case where Tesla's at fault, they're going to take responsibility. So we'll see where this leads. But lawsuits, lawsuits, lawsuits. Over in Universe Today, they've got a pretty cool video on where do comments come from, exploring the Oort cloud. So if you have a young person that is asked that type of question, or if you want to know yourself, where do comments come from, this is a pretty cool video I have linked up in the show notes. Also, NASA's mapping the wildlife damage, and they're helping in recovery efforts. And if you look at some of the satellite imagery that has been produced in and around Santa Rosa after the fires, holy smokes, no more green. Just looks like dirt. So anyway, link will be up in the show notes. You can check that out. But NASA helping out with damage recovery forces, I guess. Well, my wife, of course, she's been working for Hawaiian Airlines for about a year now. And the big news here in Hawaii is about the new Airbuses that Hawaiian Airlines is going to get. And I saw today, on CNET that they announced that Airbus had flown its first A330neo. Now, the new Airbus 330neo is basically a rework of basically the A330 that flew first flew 25 years ago. And it's almost a complete redesign. Among its improvements are acquired a Rolls-Royce Trent 7000 jet engine. Of course, NEO is an acronym for New Engine Option. It has an upgraded cabin interior, more efficient wing design, and a new cockpit technology are also in the mix. The A330neo has an increased range over its predecessors of up to 6,500 nautical miles and can carry 10 more passengers with 287 seats in a typical configuration. Of course, Airbus has orders for 212 A330neos from carriers like Delta, Hawaiian, Air Asia, and TAP Portugal. So they're expecting the Airbus 330neo to enter the Hawaii market soon and go through its qualifications and start flying commercially from some of the outer islands to LA, Portland, some long hauls into the U.S. mainland. So part of Hawaiian Airlines improving their fleet and also, you know, basically putting on a new wide body. Lifehacker is talking about the best desktop weather apps. So it's getting that time of season for many of you for your weather to start kind of, you know, not being as nice. So I'll have a link up to this if you want to check out some desktop weather apps. Adobe has come up with something really cool. And this is still kind of skunk works, but they've come up with something called the Cloak Experiment. And what it does is we know that there's the ability to remove people, power lines, flagpoles out of images, still images. But the folks at Adobe have figured out how to do this with videos. And this is really cool. This is like virtual effects that only the biggest studios can afford. Soon we hope to be put in the hands of video editors like myself. It's called Object Removal, again, Cloak Tech. It could be useful to really every video producer. You could make a freeway look empty by removing all the cars. You could cut out people to get a pristine nature shot, or delete, say, your drunk uncle from a wedding shot. Another fun example would be replace a potato salad in a shot with macaroni. So, it's just all kinds of cool things you could do with this cloaking technology. It's kind of scary because what you can uncloak, you could probably cloak someone in too and make someone appear where they weren't, which is kind of scary. If you haven't picked up an Amazon ECHO yet, Amazon Echo, if you haven't picked up one of those, or Echo Dot or Echo Show. You don't have to pay full price for your next Echo. You can buy a refurbished one. And they start at $44 all the way up to $89. Or you can buy in bulk. So a link will be up in the show notes where you can score those deals. Of course, Google and Microsoft, last show we were talking about how Google was dogging Microsoft security. Well, Microsoft is now dogging Google security. And they've turned the tables on Google. They found a vulnerability within the Chrome browser, and while Google patched it in beta version, it wasn't fixed in a public release for roughly a month. And Microsoft poo-pooed them a little bit. But anyway, so a little bit of tit-for-tat there going on. In an interesting revelation, 51% of tech experts say fake news cannot be fixed. Now, content peddlers on Facebook and how can they not stop fake news? Well, I guess if you're just writing fake news, maybe it's harder to detect. But the proliferation of false content is very difficult. But a Pew survey of 1,100 tech experts and scholars found that 51% believe that fake news problem will continue to grow worse in the next decade. And they 49% believe they can get a handle on fake news with artificial intelligence. But I don't know. It's you may get it in a little time, but how do you stop it in its tracks immediately before it gets any distribution or gains any headway? Apple has basically introduced a new statement piece. And if you're in Chicago, please go get pictures of this place. It's a glass structure. It seemingly flows into from the downtown area to the Chicago River. And it's meant to be a representation of Apple's Town Square Vine. It's Apple's Michigan Avenue location. And again, it's pretty impressive. Again, using a lot of glass. And the store is not much different than a normal store, but the promenade and the entrance is just incredible. So a link will be up in the show notes here. See if I can provide a big image of that or not. No, but there's a video on it. I'll have, again, it's a CNET article. I'll have a link up in the show notes for you to check out. Google's going to fix the Pixel 2 hidden menu button. By fix, they're going to patch it in the near future. So Pixel 2's secret menu button was leftover code Google confirmed that this was a bug and not a feature, and it'll be patched out in the future. If you're still enjoying that new phone smell, open up the settings menu and double tap in the lower right corner while you can, okay? That's where you'll find it. One of the original coding schools must pay $375,000 fine over employment. False employment claims. New York's Flatiron School was ordered to alter website and has been hit with a hefty fine. They basically weren't really clear on their true placement statistics from people that had done their coding boot camp. And the attorney general over there is a been able to get $375,000 in restitution out of them. So be careful. When you're out there looking at online or some type of, you come here for 2 months and do a boot camp and you're going to make $80,000 a year out of here, you need to apply the smell test to that and realize that maybe if you're a super coder, you can demand that. But if you're just getting started, no, you're not going to demand that kind of money. No way, no how. The BBC has decided to use machine learning to cater to what audience want to watch. Their R&D team announced a 5-year initiative to put machine learning to work to understand what audience want to watch. Can't they do that with feedback through their cable box? Or does the BBC come over the air, not over a a wired connection. Well, how come they can't get this data without, you know, it seems like they'd be able to get this a little differently. I don't know, maybe not. But anyway, we'll see what the BBC comes up with. Is the BBC programming boring, or do you guys get a lot of use out of it, or you're all on, you know, satellite? That's the question. My mom has to deal with Frontier Communications a lot, and they own the landlines in the area she lives. And they were bought, Frontier came in and bought up the local Bell's copper. And my mom has had nothing but ongoing years and years and years of service trouble with Frontier Communications. Well, it goes further than that. For folks that were ex-Horizon customers in Florida, they've been getting overbilled, can't get refunds, overcharged, you know, and it just goes on and on and on. And I mean, there's so many complaints. It shows that Frontier's system is totally out of control. And as a company that really, unless you scream the loudest or take them to court, you may not get your money back from overbilling. Outages, all kinds of stuff. So it's good to see they're keeping up their tradition down in Florida. What a, in my opinion, a horrible company. Just simply, in my opinion, a horrible, horrible company. You have to deal with Frontier? Send me your horror story. Twitter has released its calendar of upcoming measures to combat harassment and abuse. And stuff's going to be rolling out from between October 27th and January 10th. And it lays out all the initiatives that they've got planned. Link will be up in the show notes. Verizon had earnings of 98 cents a share, matching estimates. Verizon's reported earnings basically were revenue of $31.72 billion versus $31.45 billion estimated. They added 603,000 customers or 486,000 smartphones versus an increase of 438,000 retail postpaid connections expected by Street Accountant. So how much money did they actually make? What was their earnings? How much cash they had, you know, this revenue they had, but how much money did they make? Was it $3 billion? Yeah, they don't go in. They just show the gross amount. So, anyway, Verizon, it's not surprising. Look how much they're charging us. Twitter took a year to close a fake GOP account run by Russians. So, it's just amazing how long it took for them to shut it down. And I guess you can, that's the thing now. You set up a fake Facebook account and buy ads against it. All right, last couple articles tonight here. The Surface Book 2, they've really, according to the folks at Engadget, they've really done a number on this and basically upgrading it and making the hinge really tough and not have the, you know, the screen kind of wiggle on you a little bit. And they've did a really good review here of the Surface 2. I'll have the link up in the show notes for those of you thinking about one. Looks like a pretty solid machine. For those of you that like the Motorola brand, the Moto X4 is now available on Amazon Prime. It's exclusive. Let me see. What are they charging for it? It starts at $329. Oh, no. It's selling it at a discount of $70. So, yeah, so it starts at $329 is the price. So if you're looking for a Moto X4, they're on sale now. Link is in the show notes. There's a company called Select TV. They do a lot of aggregating of streaming stuff, and for a short time, for $14.99, you can get a 1-year Select TV subscription. And again, they basically go out and find all the data, find all this live streaming stuff or the stuff that's available online, and they link it up in their site. So it's free stuff that's available to stream. Again, looks like a pretty cool service. I'm going to try it for $14.99 for a whole year. Why not, right? See how it works out. Let's see what we've got for comments. I got an email from Brad. He says, hey, Todd, we cut cord 5-6 years ago. We use Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon Movies and TV and CB All Access to watch the new Star Trek series. Hulu $5.99 a month, CB All Access $7.99, Netflix $8.99. One subscribed channel through Amazon, Masterpiece Theater $5.99 a month. May cancel this as we watch the same content on their website. Enjoy your podcast, Brad. She lives in Lahaina. Very cool. Get over there. We'll have to say hello or give a shout out. There's a lot of stuff that I watch that's not available with the cord cut. But the way my cable bill has got, it's time. It's time for me to, and I've been saying this for a while, I just got to be brave enough to do it and just, move on and rejoin you guys as cord cutters. All right, that's all the email I've got. I think I'm getting you out of here ahead of schedule. Fantastic. Hey, I want to appreciate everyone for being here. And don't forget, I have a podcasting business. If you're thinking of becoming a podcaster, use the promo code GEEKNEWS when you check out at blueberry.com, BLUBRRY.com. It gets you a free 30-day trial of our service. And we've got a pretty good thing going on over there. Lots of growth, lots of cool tools coming. And we're probably going to be adding to the team over the next year. So if you got any special skills and you want to work in the podcasting space, or if you have worked in advertising and maybe you want to take a go at it, or maybe you've retired from advertising and looking for a little part-time thing, drop me a line. I'm looking to move on someone to help us with the podcast advertising and some of the cool stuff that we've got forthcoming. Don't need anybody full-time right now. Next year, we'll be ready to bring someone full-time, but I'm looking for someone kind of part-time now that would like to kind of get their feet wet. So drop me a note. That email would be todd@blueberry.com. But for this show, if you have comments, geeknews@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter @geeknews. Don't forget about our sponsor, godaddy.com at geeknewscentral.com/godaddy. I want to thank you all for being here. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for watching or listening to the show. It's been my pleasure to bring you today's episode. And I look forward to being back with you. Same time, same place. For a Monday release of the show. For those of you who pick it up via subscription on Tuesday morning. Everyone take care. See you next time here on the Geekness Central Podcast. Take care and aloha.